that part of what we do is what makes it special. It's why it's not robots, you know what I mean? Like, yet, right? Like, I don't want to ever see that human element disappear from our industry.
Welcome to Vibrant, a storytelling podcast all about coffee and hospitality. This episode features Jess Steffi. Jess is the owner of Square One Coffee in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She started in specialty coffee back in 2004, is a veteran barista and Brewers Cup competition judge who currently serves as the chair of the United States Competitions Committee. She's also a certified Q grader. Here's Jess with her story.
I do a lot of visits to Kenya, but not all were coffee related up until this time 5 years ago when I was able to visit a coffee farm for myself. And the moment of hospitality happened at the end of the day, but it was a long day. So that moment at the end of a very hugely eye-opening and educational and inspirational day happened around a wood fire sitting on stumps as Richard Comondo, a promoter farmer, had capped off. He just insisted after he had spent the entire day showing us around, not only on his exceptional farm, but also he's a promoter farmer means that he's responsible for, he's first of all, he's just in an expert in his field. He's got specialized agricultural training in sustainability, sustainable practices, good agricultural practices, and it's his job. They split up the region between about 50 farms per micro region within a region, and it's his responsibility to make sure that those 50-ish farms are armed with the latest techniques and knowledge so that they can, as a community, raise the standard of quantity and quality, and then hopefully price, so that their standard of living and their ability to invest in their lives can be increased. So he's that person in his region, that expert. And so after just blowing my mind and showing me around his farm all day long, showing me then his neighbor's farms and what their struggles were, where their heartbreak was, and where their successes have been. Just this whole day spent with this man and seeing his passion and his dedication to his whole community. And at the end, of course, he can't let us leave. He insists that we come back to his home. And I say in his home, but his home was very small, more like many small mud huts. And in the center was this camp, this roaring fire where they cook all their food, and these stumps where we were able to kind of pull up stumps, and his wife serves us this steaming hot coffee mug. And of course, when he invited us, he said, "Let's come back for coffee," with the biggest smile on his face, and everyone laughed. And I didn't know why they were laughing at the time. I was like, "Yeah, all right, it's been a long one. I could totally use a cup of coffee, even though it's about to be sunset. Let's do that." And so we go back, and everyone's still laughing. Raise the mug, coffee. I look down, and it's clearly not coffee. It's a very milky substance, and I can smell some spices coming off of it. And it's Kenyan, the Kenyan version of chai in that area, which was a Kenyan black tea. In this case, it was goat's milk, fresh goat's milk that his wife had probably just milked that morning, and raw sugar, and whatever blend of like masala kind of spices was locally available, kind of all cooked down in a large pot, poured into a large kettle that kind of had its own little internal strainer. Of course, you got little bits of goodies in your tea, but that just added to the flavor and the texture, and poured that into all of our cups, and we sat there enjoying his incredible hospitality. After all of that, here he is still serving us. And I realized that actually Kenyan coffee farmers can't afford to buy coffee. The cost of tea, it was like a third or a fourth of what the cost of a bag of very low quality coffee would be. So it was very rare that a Kenyan coffee farmer would ever even get to taste that final product. That actually those farmers, a lot of times these smallholder farmers, are just delivering their cherries to the mill, and that's as close as they ever get to the final product. They never see the dried coffee in parchment or the green beans, and then certainly not as much roasted coffee, even though it's certainly available in some grocery stores. It's out of their budget range, and that just that moment of epiphany for me that, oh my goodness, coffee farmers don't necessarily drink coffee. And I had brought a lot of coffee with me to give them coffee that we had bought from their co-op, thinking they're going to love this coffee. And culturally, they had no means to even prepare it. But just that moment of this is even probably a stretch. Like, these people are giving to us not from a place of plenty. They are working really hard every day for everything they have and can't afford coffee. But here, come back and have coffee in quotes with us in our coffee mugs. And just sitting around that campfire and talking about things that were not coffee related at the end of a long educational coffee heavy day. We just were kicking back, watching the sunset, talking. Ironically, we were probably talking at that moment about parenting, because we were all parents sitting around there, around that campfire. And then his two older sons, who had been working on the coffee farm all day, come rolling in looking for a nice cup of chai at the end of their work day. And I'm pretty sure we were like, oh, yeah, and the parenting conversation is over now. And that was just, I've never experienced such warmth of hospitality in the context of gathering around coffee, even if it was coffee in quotes, you know.
How have you carried this story with you throughout your career in coffee, both as an owner of Square One, a Q grader, a coffee judge? I mean, how has this impacted you, and how have you been able to share it in your own experiences?
You know, it just opened my eyes to the supply chain as a whole and our links through it. And, you know, we make assumptions all the time about each other and about our guests in the hospitality industry, whether you're a barista working on the front lines, making an assumption. We kind of assume our experience is universal. And so listening and getting to know people at all levels within the coffee industry and our customers, just, I don't know, those moments of getting to put your assumptions aside and listen and open yourself up to the bigger picture. I think that's been my approach since that moment of, oh wow, you thought you had this all figured out, but really you need to stop and listen and be open to hearing where this person's at. I'm pretty sure that's been the technique, whether I knew it came from that moment or not. That was the moment something clicked in that area for me.
Mm-hmm. And whenever you're working with new team members at Square One, do you share experiences like this with them? Like, is this the kind of story that comes up organically throughout the training whenever they're new to coffee and they're just intensely curious about the craft of coffee? Do these hospitality moments like this, find a way into those conversations as well?
Absolutely. I mean, especially, I'm not, maybe not 100% right in the beginning, although as we're doing training, we talk about where coffee comes from. And so I share many experiences, but as we'll get more specific and as someone's growing in coffee and we're talking more about, you know, specific, whenever we talk about Kenyan coffees, I'm talking about stories like this. But in general, just talking about the standard of living around the world. I mean, here we are, we're in a hospitality industry in a developed nation where people can pay 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, for a cup of coffee, and well more than that for bags of coffee. So to see that all of our brothers and sisters, our comrades in arms in coffee and in the specialty coffee industry, which does go and start back at the farm level, that we're not all living on the same standard. And as a company, that's something that we're trying to, you know, we're all trying to march towards equality in that area. So it's a conversation we're constantly having. And that's just one of many great examples of, you know, where the industry is headed and where it's going. And even in my most recent visits to Kenya, especially coffee in Kenya and the culture around that in Kenya is exploding. There's more shops, there's more baristas pouring latte art, and their barista competition scene is you know, slowly bubbling and building. So culture there is changing too. But yeah, stories like this about the entire supply chain, I think, are always happening in our company, because I don't want a barista to think that they're the beginning and end of that beverage. And I want them to have the full story, and they're passionate about it, and that bubbles over into their hospitality, into their customer service, and our customers get excited about it as well.
Mm. Do you think that we talk about hospitality enough in the industry?
Absolutely not. No way. I mean, like, even though it has its waves of, like, just a real, like, everybody's coming out with this new customer service class. It'll have its like moments of like where it's trending, you know, trending, but it's not something that I think I don't ever think it should not be trending. It should always be trending. We should always be talking about what we can do to provide the best service and the best experience and the best product. And it's just, it's all these things built together, because the human connection, that part of what we do is what makes it special. It's why it's not robots. You know what I mean? Like, yet, right? Like, I don't want to ever see that human element disappear from our industry. And as everything becomes automated, it's the actual one thing that we have.
That was Jess Steffi. My name is Mallory Light. Our music was written and recorded by Kevin Cott. To learn more and hear other coffee hospitality stories, visit vibrantpodcast.com.